good to be back among the land of the living. Seems like forever. And as a result, you'll probably be surprised to know that I'm going to talk about walking. Because I'm going to be walking. I'm walking better. But we've still got a little way to go yet. We thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We thank you that you're always with us and that you're always caring for us. And I just pray for your guidance as I read this word, and that you will speak to each of us, and that you will bless us, that you'll encourage us, and that we'll be drawn closer to you as a result. And we give you all the praise and all the thanks. As we start, I'm going to start in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. Joshua took over from Moses and God gave him some promises. And this was one of the first promises that he gave him. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Amen. The soles of your feet are very sensitive. We look after our feet, don't we?
Yeah.
We don't like it if our feet are uncomfortable. It's nice to have good feet. It's nice to have soft feet, get some cream on. When you've got dirty feet, it's always nice to have them washed and feel clean and get your clean socks on and look after yourself. And have you noticed when you start walking around, especially if you're walking out outside without your shoes and socks on, how quick your feet get sore and hard? They respond to the harshness of the environment and very quickly become hard and scratchy and uncomfortable. But God says that everywhere that we put the soles of our feet, he's given it to us. So we need a little bit of guidance on what we're going to do. If we're going to walk comfortably, one would imagine that we're walking in the grass or on the sand. It's nice to walk on the beach, isn't it? Especially when it's a nice warm day and the tide's out or in, or whatever you touch your fancy. It's nice to walk barefoot in some environments and it gives us some pleasure. But it's also uncomfortable to walk in other environments because it gives us ow, 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 ooh, 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 and we can't get away quick enough. Went to Venice with Ken and Pauline and Louise, the daughter, and we were on the beach. And it was lovely and hot. We were sat in the shade and we were enjoying it. And then we decide, well, I'm going to go and have a swim in the sea. Oh, yeah. So you get from under the shade and you put your foot on the sand. Ah, 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 ah. Burn, burn, burn. I even invested in some shoes that you can wear on the beach that you can actually swim in them as well. Because there's no way I'm going to walk on that hot sand again. But we need to be careful with our feet. We need to watch where we're walking. And there is a way to walk. If we decide that we're going to be going out, if I'm at home, 9 times out of 10 I'm walking around in my socks. Sometimes I've got my slippers on. But when I leave the house, I take the slippers off and I put appropriate footwear on for going outside. We prepare for our walk. And depending on where we're walking, depends on what sort of footwear we put on. If we're going hiking, you're not going to put your stilettos on. If you're going ice skating, you need some special shoes. If you're going climbing, you need some climbing shoes. If you're playing football, you need some football boots. If you're going in the garden, you need your old scrubby old battered old shoes or a pair of wellies. We used to put in sensible footwear on for what we're going to do. When we're planning to do something, we think about what we're going to wear on our feet. It makes sense. So if you've got sense, you plan what you're going to put on your feet. And it's no different as far as God's concerned. If we go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, it gives us a little bit more information about our feet. Ephesians 6 and verse 15. And it tells us that our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We know that what the world needs today is peace. There's not a lot of peace around. You put the news on and you don't hear about peace. Everything is bad news, but we've got some good news. And it's the good news that we're going to address. And it's the good news that we have to be prepared to deliver. And in doing so, we know that we've actually got beautiful feet. Some people have got really, really nice feet. Some people have got feet that you wouldn't want to look at. And we've all got different types of feet. And there's a reason for that. We've all got different walks. We've all got different places to go. We've all got different things to do. But going on with this, following on from Ephesians, where we're told that we've got feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in Isaiah 52 and verse 7, it says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publisheth peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, and that says unto Zion, thy God reigns." Our God reigns.
Amen.
We are not only in the kingdom that we live in of Great Britain, but we are in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And if you think the coronation of King Charles was spectacular,
yeah,
we've seen nothing. We have seen nothing. Because God has got a glorious kingdom. We haven't got a clue about what majesty is. And we thought we saw it. And we did, but that was earthly majesty. Can you just imagine what godly majesty is going to be like? The answer to that question is no, you can't imagine it, because your mind's not big enough. You've not got the capacity, and neither have I. It's not a criticism. It's more or less a fact. We cannot think greater things than what God can think. And God established the type of coronation that we've just witnessed. A lot of the fundamentals of the coronation are biblical from King David's time.
Yeah.
They kept saying, oh, this goes back to 1400, this goes back to 1600. It's like, no, it doesn't. It goes back a lot longer than that, love. But you see, they're not allowed to acknowledge the Bible. So if we go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, where it talks about putting the sole of our foot, the question is, what land does the sole of our foot have to claim? Where are we going to put our feet? What land do we want? Well, since we moved into this church, this is our land.
Amen.
Intake is our land.
Yeah.
And there have been times when I've sort of driven round in the car and prayed around the neighbourhood. As a fellowship, there have been times when as a fellowship we've gone out and about and walked the streets and prayed for the people in the village. And it is our responsibility to continue to claim this ground.
Yeah.
God would not have given us a church in Intake if he wanted us to bring everybody in Armthorpe to salvation.
No.
He wouldn't have given us a church in Intake if he wanted us all to get one will saved.
Yeah.
Now, all these places want saving. All these places need deliverance. But God gave us Intake. He's put us here for a purpose. And that purpose is not to sit on nice blue chairs in a nice warm church and enjoy a little Christian party two or three times a week and to enjoy each other. On the other hand, God has allowed us to enjoy each other. He does enjoy us to have a little party two or three times a week. But ultimately, he's in control and we are here for a greater purpose.
Amen.
And we're here for a greater purpose than ourselves. Although we ourselves are important to him and he has plans for us. Can I recommend that as you're driving into intake, as you pass people, as you pass buildings and you see things around the neighbourhood, that you just take that moment to pray as you come through. And that you, in your prayer times at home and wherever you are, round and about, that you spend time praying for this community. When I taught at Dainham, intake had the highest number of students from single parent families, addicted families, alcoholic families, families with great needs, and it's not much different now.
No.
It doesn't actually seem as bad as it did 10 years ago, but I'm not in touch with the neighbourhood as much as I was then. Because I'm not in school, I'm not up to date on what the latest problems are. And every community has its problems. But this community has been chosen by God for us as a church to draw them to him. And that is exactly what is going to happen.
Amen.
These people in this community are going to come and get to know Jesus. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is.
Yeah.
Now, my next door neighbour keeps professing that she's a Christian and she's going to a church in Armthorpe. But she's taking note. When she came in yesterday, I'd got my Bible out and my notes, and I'd sat on the stool where she normally comes in and sits. And it was quite comical, really, because she came in and she sat down. And while I'm making the tea, I saw her. Natter, natter, natter. So I took longer making the tea. I thought, well, I'll give a chance to read it all. And then we were able to talk about it a little bit because, you know, I made it obvious that I'd seen her reading it, you know. So I said, what did you think then? Are you going to come and listen to me then? I said, although having said that, you've read it now, haven't you? You don't need to. So she said, no, 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 no. Then it was nice because it actually seems as if I've got a nice neighbour that's born again. Well, I'm saying born again. I'm not sure she's born again, but she believes. And she's praying and she's reading and we talk about God. And it's nice to be able to have someone like that. And the dog loves me. Little Bella comes and loves me. You met Bella, didn't you? And, you know, it's nice to have somebody that you can talk to about the things of God. Especially when you live on your own, because you don't see anybody from one day to the next unless you go out of the house. Because the television's not much company, it's quite boring, really. But when we're planting our feet and we're planning on the land that we need to claim, we've also got a big opportunity in our own homes. We've got partners to consider. Well, I haven't, but people have got partners and families to consider depending on who lives in your home. You've got your neighbours to consider. What about where you're working? The sole of your foot is in your occupation. It's where you're working. And so every opportunity that we've got opportunities to witness for the Lord and to explain how much he's done for us and how he blesses us. Even when you're going shopping, anywhere we go, we can witness for the Lord. And God has promised that everywhere we plant our feet, he'll give us that land. Do we want that land?
Amen.
We're going to want that land. If I want that land, I've got to do something about it. When I bought my bungalow and decided I wanted that land, it wasn't enough just to say to myself, I want that land. I had to make plans and go through procedures to get that land. And sometimes when you are winning souls, you've got to ask God, what is the procedure I need to do to win this person? Sometimes it's not just a case of, oh, well, I've witnessed, I've done my bit. Does God want you to do something else? Andrew's told you on Sunday the number of things that he did for me when I became a Christian and started to walk with God. There were things that Andrew did and Grace did at that time that helped me to come in because I'd seen enough in church and I'd seen enough about what people were doing and what they were saying and how their lives matching up to what they preach. They get up on Sunday, preach one thing, you'd be sat there thinking, you are kidding. I know how you're living, and you're telling me that. Get a life. And you see, when you're brought up in an unfortunate situation like that, it does something to you. And as he says, I watched him, and I watched Grace. And it's almost like, yeah, you just slip up. Just slip up, and you'll be just like all the rest. And happily, I've known them a number of years now. And although they're not perfect, they've not slipped up in a bad way. And that's good. And it's a testament to God. Because God keeps you. And God at that time also knew that if there were any slip-ups, it would have a knock-on effect because I was watching. And I wasn't watching because I thought they would be successful. I was watching because I was expecting them to fail. And people are looking at us like that. They expect you to fail. If you do something right, nobody will comment. But the minute you do something wrong, I thought you were a Christian. Who cares what you think? I care what he thinks. And when I miss it, I apologise and I'm perfect again.
Amen.
And that's it. Don't let the world judge you.
No.
The world judges you by its standards. And its standards aren't great. All you have to do is listen to the way that our politicians are behaving. The government that's supposed to be above reproach, that's going to lead the country in the right way. Give me a break. If that's the right way to live, it's no wonder the country's in a mess. And it's not in a total mess, but it's in a bigger mess than we know about. They don't tell us everything. The other thing that I found interesting when I was in Joshua. I've been in Joshua a bit recently. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 24. Joshua 10 and 24. Joshua had been in a little bit of a battle and had captured some kings. So, like I say, Joshua 10 and 24, it came to pass when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war that went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight.
Amen.
Now then, in order to put your feet round somebody's neck, one would imagine that the person's got to be laid on the floor.
Yeah.
Or if they're laid on a table, you've got to be stood on the table. In order to put your feet on somebody's neck, you have to be in a certain position. And we as Christians have got to put our feet on the devil's neck and all his little minions. We're not fighting against people. We're fighting the battle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and evil spirits and all that sort of thing. We're not fighting each other, or shouldn't be. So if we're going to put our feet on the neck of our enemies, we're going to start conquering the evil.
Amen.
And it's the evil that is keeping the people in bondage. It's not enough to claim the land. We need to get the soles of our feet on the land, but we also need to get our feet on the devil's neck. Let him know his place. He thinks he's so clever, but the stupid fool wasn't clever enough to realise that his pride brought him out of God's kingdom because he wanted to be it. But he weren't equipped. He didn't have the facility to take charge because he's not greater than God. And God's given us the ability to stick our feet on his neck. Exactly. And we don't need to bow and scrape and worry about what the devil said or what his little demon said or what people say that he stirred up against us, because it really doesn't matter. The bottom line is, what's God said? Get your feet on the devil's neck. Get your feet on the ground that you want to claim. Sometimes it's not necessarily where you walk, but it's how you walk. And then when I was doing this, I was reminded of a scenario that Jerry Savelle once spoke about when he was talking about babies and when they're learning to walk. And babies, when they've been crawling around, and then they decide they're going to get brave and they get up on the furniture and they sort of waddle about a bit and wiggle and waddle, and then they'll fall down, which is why we put nappies on them, because the padding doesn't hurt the little bums when they fall on the floor. And then they'll get back up and they'll hold onto the furniture and they'll go through the same thing, wriggling and squirming, and they'll fall down again. And they keep going through this procedure. And they're getting up and they're falling down. And then all of a sudden they'll get up and they'll take a couple of steps. Just a couple of steps. And mum and dad is like, oh, well done. Oh, wasn't that lovely? And baby's happy because he's made mum and dad happy. So what does he do? They get up and they do it again. And you know, it's not many days before they start walking properly. When Daniel and Alicia was here with Joshua, Joshua used to crawl around and he'd get up on the furniture. But you know, it was only a matter of days after he took his first steps, and all of a sudden he's walking. Didn't take long. Walking is a confidence thing. When once you know how to do it, you just do it. We don't get up in the morning and get up, well, not every morning, but we don't normally get up in the morning and think, oh, now then, how do I walk? I mean, while I've had an injured foot, I've had some mornings like that. But normally speaking, when we're well, when our feet are in good nick and we don't have pain in our legs or anything, we get up, we don't even think how to walk, we just get up and do it. It comes second nature to us, and that's how we should be walking in Christ. We should be walking in second nature. We shouldn't have to think about what we're doing. We should just be walking in Him. The perseverance of the baby brought success, and our perseverance in living for Him will bring us success as well. We all walk a step at a time. That's what walking is. It's just one step after another. The minute you stop taking steps, you stop walking. One would hope that you're standing or sitting down, hoping that you're not going backwards. Because if you want to go backwards, you need to turn around and walk the other way. But we're not called to go backwards, we're called to go forwards. So we'll keep this on a spiritual level. And we're going to walk forward. In order to walk forward and to stay safe, you need to look where you're going. If I set off from here and I start walking and miss where that step is, I'm going to fall down. I did. But I didn't fall down because I weren't looking where I was going. And it goes for the thing, if you're walking in the hills or up the mountainsides or anywhere that you're walking, you need to look. Especially if you're walking on Doncaster's pavements, because there's that many potholes and cracks in the floor. If you're not looking where you're going, you're going to hurt yourself. And it's the same spiritually. We need to look where we're going. We need to be careful where we're going sometimes. We need to be observant about what we're doing and where we're going. We might know the final destination, but sometimes you don't even see the final destination until you get there. If I left my house and started walking to town, or I probably should say into the city these days, shouldn't I? But if I start walking into town, I don't see town till I'm almost there. And how do I get to town? One step at a time.
After I've got off the bus.
One step at a time, that is how you get to your destination. Just by keeping taking steps. And sometimes as Christians we miss it because we stop taking steps. We quit before we get where we're going. And we need to keep going. We don't stop. We only fail if we quit. Psalm 37 and verses 23 and 24 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And if you know God, God's got big hands. The steps of a good man. Are you a good man or a good woman? Your steps are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in us, and we delight in his ways. If we fall, we'll not be utterly cast down, because the Lord upholds us. It's not a case of, you know, I've got to be this wonderful Christian and I can't fall. If I fall, that's it, it's all over. No, no, no. If you fall, it's just another opportunity to get up. I'm going back to Jerry Savelle. He tells this story about getting up and falling down and getting up and falling down. And he says, and if you fall down in the middle of the road, he says, and you just lay there screaming, what are you doing there? And I say, well, I fell. Yeah, I know you fell. Why didn't you get up? Because I fell. And he says, and if you fall down in the middle of the road, I suggest you get up, and you get up quick before a bus comes and knocks you over. When you fall, it's just another opportunity to get up. And we all fall. So get up and stop judging yourselves. Stop getting into a, oh, I'm such a failure, me. Oh, I'll never make it. Oh, I'll never be any good. Oh, give over. God doesn't invest in failures. And I can prove it. God never fails. So he's not going to invest in a failure. People want success. Even in the world, your employer wants you to be successful. Because if you're successful, they're successful. People don't invest in failures. People will invest time in failures to promote them and encourage them to succeed. But if you are an employer, you don't want a failure, you want a succeeder. And an employer wants you to succeed. Sometimes, you know, you go to work and think, oh, they're picking on me, they don't want me to do well. Rubbish. If you don't do well, their business fails. You need to do well. We need to do well when we're at work. We need to do our best. And it shows when you do your best at work. I know when I was at working at a place in Rotherham, I turned up one morning and I was just normal secretary. I walked in one morning, my boss says, you'll be working for Peter later on. I goes, why? Well, managing director's secretary's quit and Peter's secretary's moved up, and so you're going to go and work for Peter. And he's like, well, how come I've got it? And he more or less says, well, come on. Who stays late when she's busy? Everybody else naffs off at 5:30 and goes home. And even earthly people will reward those that dig in and do the work. Same happened when I was teaching at Dainham. There was a lady that was in charge of the maths department at lower school, had a breakdown and didn't come in. And the assistant head came down to the department that morning. And she says to me, she says, Pat will not be coming in anymore. She's going to be off probably for 6 to 8 months. She's had another of her mental breakdowns. She says, so we need to get somebody to look after her post while she's not here. And so I says, well, what do you think? Are we going to advertise? She goes, no. She says, you're going to do it. You what? I'd only been there 12 months. There were people that had been there 12 years. But they saw that I would do what needed to be done to get the work done. When I left school at night, my lessons were all planned for the next day and all the books were marked. Everything was done. I didn't come into a backlog of work. It was done. And that's the thing, even in the world, people are quick to spot those that are willing to work. And it's the same with God. He's looking for people that are willing to work. If you just want to come to church and sing a few songs and go home, that's fine. But it's not going to do you any good, and it's not going to do the kingdom any good. You might feel good for an hour or two, but when you get home, if you're not serious about this spiritual life, it's not going to sustain you. You're going to need another fix on Sunday. And then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're going to be bored until you come for another fix Wednesday night. And then Thursday, Friday and Saturday, you're going to be fed up again until you get your next fix on Sunday. But that's no way to live. You can live high all the time. And we're all walking similar paths. And yet at the same time, we're walking different paths. We're walking similar paths because we're all walking the path to harvest fields and in things related to harvest fields. But when we go home, we don't all go to the same house. We've got a different path. We've got different responsibilities. We've got different interests and we've got different occupations. And sometimes it takes us into high places and sometimes it doesn't. Again, in Psalm 18, another place that we can be walking. Psalm 18, verse 32. It's God that girdeth me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon high places. Makes your feet like hinds' feet. Have you ever seen the goats climbing up the mountains? In fact, there was something on the other night. I was watching a programme and there were these goats and they were running up this mountain. It's like, dear Lord, how are these goats not falling? Yeah. And they're not only walking, they're jumping. God met my feet like that. So that you can leap and not fall. Eh? To be a bit fit to do that sort of leaping and jumping. One might argue you need four legs. We'll have to take Charlie with us. But it makes our feet strong and firm so that where we're going, he guards our steps. He guards the paths that we take. As you know, physically walking for me has been quite difficult and a bit painful of late. And when I went to the hospital a couple of weeks ago, he says, we've got three options. We can either operate or we can give you an injection or we can organise some physiotherapy. So I thought to myself, well, you're not operating on it. You're not giving me no stupid injections, so I guess it's physiotherapy. And then I discover that although they want me to have physiotherapy, I'm on a waiting list and the waiting list is about 18 months long. It's like, oh dear God, I've got a better solution. I've put number four in. And the fourth option is God. And let me tell you, in fact, you've probably noticed, this last week I've been walking better. I'm not in as much pain. There's a little bit of a soreness there. But this last week, since I've declared, you know, that it's definitely going to be God, it's almost as if God said, right, well, we're on the right lines then. You are going with me, and I'll go with you. And I don't think it's going to be very long, you know. In fact, I've noticed the swelling's gone down so much. Some mornings when I wake up, I have to really feel to find where swelling actually is. So the thing is now is to stop looking for the swelling, because if you seek, you find. So we're not going to seek. Yeah, it's all relevant. We've got to claim our territories for Jesus. We've got to get our walk going. We call our relationship with Jesus a walk, don't we? We're walking with him. Well, he's got sure feet. And he's got a steady path. It's called the way. We walk in his way. There's plenty to be said about walking. And people today need peace in their lives. We read earlier in Ephesians 6:15, how our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and what this world needs is peace. There's many worried about the cost of living. They're worried about how they're going to pay the bills. And sadly at the moment it seems that those that don't want to work are better off than those that are working. You know, they're not working, so, oh, the government, oh, here's 900 quid. Like, hang on a minute, excuse me. Oh, they're not working. Well, let's give them this. I mean, the irony of it is everybody in the country got the £400 for the gas and electric. Every household got the same thing, whether you needed it or not, which in some respects is a travesty. And really, for my personal opinion, it's stop throwing money at people and make these companies charge sensible prices. or tax pants off them and leave us alone. Because there's too many people at the moment, sad to say, that are just freeloading. And it's nice to get something free, but if you can afford it, pay for it. And the Bible's got a message for these people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So if you're not going to work, don't come to the dinner table because we're not going to feed you. If you're not going to work, don't expect a food package because we're not going to feed you. If you're not going to work, don't expect. Now, there are people that genuinely cannot work. There are disabled people that genuinely cannot work. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be providing for them. We should. But there are so many people out and about that you see asking for things, begging for things, and they don't need it. We had one outside the supermarket. We used to call him Morrison's Pete. And he was begging every day. Do you remember him? He'd stand outside and people would be coming out, they'd be giving him a quid, buying him some pies, giving him some tins of food. And I was driving one day and I thought, oh, there's Morrison's Pete there. And I watched him take a key out of his pocket and open his front door and went into this nice house. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. So being very loving and considerate, the next time I went to Morrison's, I didn't realise you lived at Woodlands, Pete. It's a long way to come, isn't it? Is there no supermarket near where you live? What do you mean? I saw you when you were going home other night. You live at Woodlands, don't you? I said, surely it'd be easier for you to go to Asda or somewhere around there rather than trail all the way here. I said, do you come on bus or do you drive in car? It's funny, within a couple of weeks, he disappeared. Because, of course, I told everybody that I met where he lived. Because the thing is, one of the things I can't stand is people ripping folk off. Like I said, people have got genuine needs. But if you want money, you get more money going to work than you will stood outside supermarket. But standing outside supermarket means that you don't work. But it means that lots of other people have got to work to support you. And it's good, like I said, that we help the people that are genuinely in need. But we're not called to look after the freeloaders and the lazy. We're called to look after the poor and the infirm. And the problem is, so many of these days just think it's their right just to get and get. But our right is to give and give. And when you give, guess what happens? You find that you start getting. And you get in lots of different ways. Sometimes you don't get money handed to you. But you'll notice I've been sporting a new coat this last week. My expensive coat, fiver. Went into the supermarket this morning and they'd got some pretzels. Pretzels, normally £1.15 a bag. 15p. And they're not expiring until July 2024. No, I didn't. I'm not greedy. I bought 2 packets. But you see, the thing is, when God blesses you, he doesn't necessarily send a cheque through the post and gives you 100 quid. Sometimes he'll give you opportunities to pick things up for next to nothing. We speak into being that washing machine. They need a new washing machine. He's put a bid on for an expensive washing machine and he's bid a low price. We're going to call that washing machine in. We should be getting the best deals with the best people, and the best people always get the best. I think about Romania and the work that the people that we support from time to time are doing in Romania. A country where people have got next to nothing. And the church there is providing food, clothes, firewood. Whether they're Christians or not, they're providing everybody that needs. And the people there are grateful for what they're getting. They don't get the social services that we get. and people are glad for the support. And I think, you know, about the witness to that community, the opportunities, because of the way that they're delivering sustenance and blessings to the people, that speaks more than anything you can say. Yeah? So we need to look where we're going. We need to look at the path that God's set before us. And then we've got to do what that song says. There's that song, isn't there? Step by step, we're moving forward. Not backward, we're moving forward. Little by little, we're taking ground. Every step, every prayer a powerful weapon, strongholds come tumbling down. What strongholds are standing against us? What strongholds are standing against you? There's only one way for them. Down.
Amen.
So, in closing, get these strongholds taken care of. Get your feet on the enemy's neck. If he looks up, just squash him back down again. If he climbs on your shoulder, shouldn't be up there, knock him off. Shouldn't be whispering in your ear.
No.
You shouldn't be able to hear a word that he says. And if you do hear a word that he says, my question would be, why are you listening to him? He's not your God.
No.
And claim the ground that's been stolen from us.
Yeah.
And let's see something happening in this community.
Amen.
Because God has put us here for a purpose. And it ain't just to sit on these nice blue chairs.
No.
Let's move forward. Let's walk the walk and get on with the job that God's called us to do.